First John chapter 5. Our text tonight's going to be verse 16 and 17, but I want us to start reading a little bit before that and not forget the context John is writing to us in. First John 5, we'll begin in verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, he shall petition, he shall pray, and the Lord shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not unto death. This passage, just like this whole epistle, is meant to comfort God's saints, meant to comfort those that believe on Christ. And John's declaring the assurance of eternal life we have by just simply believing Christ. John declares the confidence we have in prayer because of Christ our high priest. And that when we pray for our brethren that are in a fall, we have confidence that the Lord will continue to keep those that He's given life to. What a privilege. God will hear us intercede for our brethren, just like Christ intercedes for us. And God will grant our sinning brother or sister, those in a fall, and He'll give them life, and He'll keep them forever. Many children of God are hung up on this phrase, a sin unto death. I've heard it asked a whole lot, what's a sin unto death? Rarely do people say, what's the sin that's not unto death? We know what those are, don't we? It's like we find, what's the minimum? What's the necessity I got to do to skate by? That's my nature. John is not saying that one born of God, one of Christ's sheep, can ever commit the sin unto death. It cannot happen. It's not possible. I pray God will give us all the ability to get comfort and assurance out of this passage this evening. He'll give us the ability to see what a great blessing God's given us to be able to pray for our brethren that's in a fault. It's a privilege. Now, what's a sin unto death? He says there in verse 16, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now, look at that phrase again. A sin unto death. From sin, there is only one salvation. Christ Jesus, the Son of God. We are all sinners. We all deserve eternal punishment. We have all come short of the glory of God, and we need a sacrifice to put away our sin. Christ alone put away the sins of His people, and the sacrifice of Himself, His unleavened body, one time. He did it once. It says in Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected them that are sanctified. He has perfected his children forever. He did this once. But if we sin willfully, if we deny Christ, if we know Him, we have knowledge of Him, and we deny Him, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If we hear the truth faithfully preached to us, that's what my pastor used to say, salvation's an 18-inch journey. It goes from the head to the heart. If we have the truth faithfully preached to us and we still reject Christ, there's no more sacrifice for sin. Talk about a warning. That's as stern of a warning as you can get. Thanks be to God that Christ is the one that puts away sin, not me. not you. It says, sin unto death. From death, the only salvation is Christ our life. The only way to know we have spiritual life and righteousness in Christ is by believing on His name. That's our comfort. He said in John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. If you believe Him, you have life right now. He's the cure for sin, and He's the remedy for death. There in verse 11 in 1 John 5, it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. So that sin unto death is denying Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who is the only salvation from sin and the only salvation from death. It's to hear of Him and deny Him. There in 1 John 2:22 it says, but who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. We'll see that more in a minute. Those that hear of the true living God and deny them, it's an unpardonable sin to blaspheme and reject the triune God in Christ. There's no pardon for those who reject the only one who is able to pardon. There's no forgiveness of sin if we reject the only one whose sake forgiveness is given. Christ, we'll turn over to Matthew 12. So there's a little bit lengthy for us. We'll look at it. Matthew chapter 12. Begin in verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin is blasphemy. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Some people say, Christ is saying here, that you can say anything you want about God the Father. You can take God the Son's name in vain, but don't say nothing about the Holy Spirit. Because that's a sin unto death, is to say something bad about God the Holy Ghost. Of course that's not what He's saying. He's saying, if you were speaking against me and I were only a man, if I was just a son of a man, if I was only Joseph's son, then it would be forgiven you. But there in verse 28, Matthew 12:28, He says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. He's saying, you're not only speaking out against the Son of Man only. He goes, I am the God-man. The kingdom of God has come unto you. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He is the Christ. You are speaking against God the Father. You're speaking against God the Son. And you're speaking against God the Holy Spirit. In other words, that sin unto death is rejecting Christ, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's to not believe God and not to believe His Word. How do we know if someone has committed a sin unto death? It says, there in 1 John 5:16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. If someone's just in a fall, we pray for him. He says, if they're committing a sin unto death, don't even pray for them. The Lord told the Pharisees, or about the Pharisees, to His disciples. He said, let them alone. Don't even pray for them. So how are we to know if someone's committed to sin unto death? It's impossible to know, for us to know, unless they die openly rejecting Christ. Unless we're there with them until the end. But God gives us warnings. We can't know, but He gives us warnings. The things He speaks of about the sin unto death are if a man continues them until the end. This message is not to fight someone that's in an error, someone that's departed from the gospel. I'm not picking on nobody, but I want to give you a loving warning. Hear God's word and obey it. If we are God's child, God will make us obey Him. This is the life of a believer. He makes us obey. So first off, what are some of these warnings about a sin unto death? It's to forsake the assembly of God's saints under the preaching of the gospel. Let's turn over to chapter 2, 1 John 2, verse 18. First John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. Now there's a difference between someone that stops assembling with the saints and someone that stops assembling with these saints, with the local assembly. If someone was to leave this church, if they had a big falling out and they got mad at me or mad at one of you, and they said, I just can't stand to worship there, and they packed up all their belongings and they headed up to Rescue, or they drove out to Rocky Mount, Virginia, Ashland, Kentucky, you in New Jersey, that's not abandoning the saints. But if they stop coming to hear the gospel preached, if they walk away from the assembly of the saints to nothing else, that's to forsake the assembly of the saints. There are some that God gave faith, but before they heard, before the Lord gave them life, they'd already gotten to a situation that make it difficult for them to be underneath the sound of the gospel. Or a physical ailment makes it where they can't come. They're not able to come to church. These cases are very rare. These are rare cases. It's not someone who's within a day's drive of church and is able to come. We have some brethren up in Canada, and they have a son that's handicapped. And due to moving out of the country and insurance and all that stuff, right now they're not able to travel. And it's several days' drive for them to get to a faithful church to hear the gospel. So they listen on the internet. Now when the day comes that they have the opportunity to move to where the sound of the gospel is preached faithfully, they will move. They'll go. When that opportunity comes up, if and when it does. But these rare cases are not those who could move and won't. It's not excusable for those who are within a day or two drive from a church where the gospel is preached in truth, who will not assemble with God's people under the gospel. Christ's sheep will travel a long way, and they'll stay overnight to feed on green pasture. They'll travel a long way, even if they can only do it once or twice a month, even if it's a rare thing. They'll go out of their way to be fed. Every time I think of that, deer will travel 400 miles for salt. They'll go across multiple states. So if you got salt on your property, you watch for deer. If the gospel's preached, his sheep will come. They'll come a long way. Many of you all drive a long way. Those who go out from us, those who could assemble. Instead, they leave where the gospel's preached. They don't move to another church where the gospel's preached in truth. They just leave. They cease assembling under Christ's preaching with Christ's people. They cease committing themselves to Christ and his people. And some go out for the lust of the world. Oh, I got a big job. Got some fame coming. I got a political appointment. They find some kind of lust in this world. Others go out uniting with a false gospel. Others go out with a multitude of other excuses just to justify abandoning Christ. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, God says, hold fast our profession without even wavering. Why? Because God is faithful that He promised. There's no sacrifice that a believer will make to assemble with God's saints that will not, that God will not honor, that He won't bless abundantly. He says there in Malachi 3, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And then He says, testing. So try me. See if He's telling you the truth. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The reason God will have His people assemble together is that we might provoke one another to love and to good works. If He's on a desert island, you'd say, I'm going to go be by myself on an island so I can love more. Ain't nobody there to love, is there? We do this simply by obeying His word. There in verse 25. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner is of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We exhort one another and provoke one another to love and to good works simply by gathering together under the gospel where His saints are. There's been several times I've showed up to service and thought, well, boy, I just ain't going to be able to listen today and I ain't going to be able to hear nothing. But there's other believers that are showing up. And that's what Kevin's there. There's been many a time I've not felt like going to service, and any excuse, it ain't like moving to another state, it's just for today. Oh, what can I come up with that won't, I won't have to go? I'm tired, my back hurts. And I thought, oh, brother so-and-so is going to be there. They don't miss. That's an encouragement to me. That's provoking me to love and to good works, isn't it? But if a professing believer sins willfully after he's heard this truth and knowledge, if he forsakes the assembly together with God's saints under the gospel and does so to the end of their life, God says he's an apostate. He's fell away. Look there in verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherein he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite the grace, the Spirit of the grace. Those that hear that God saves His people, we're made righteous in Him. We are sanctified by Him, and they trod it underfoot. His blood ain't good enough. I can do better. I got to add to it. Verse 30, for we know Him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What a frightening thing. That's a stern warning about being under the sound of the gospel, assembling with His saints. Another warning we have there, we'll go back to 1 John, we'll be looking in chapter 4. Another warning is if someone preaches a false gospel, or they assemble to hear a false gospel, and does so to the end. They do their last dying day. They're in 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Those that are preaching to you, get you a Bible and see, make sure they're telling you the truth. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. That's frightening. How are we? Is that burden on me? I have to discern all these things? Oh, I just saw what danger is in this. in the hands of an angry God. How can I know which one's right? Read on. Here's our comfort. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What a comfort. Yet again, anything required of me is provided for by my Savior. So we see the sin unto death is denying Christ by forsaking Christ's assembly, by preaching a false gospel, by sitting under a false gospel, and by refusing correction until the end, until we die. Titus told us that in Titus 3. Said after the second or third admonition, they're a heretic. After these strong warnings. So once we see what this is, can a child of God commit the sin unto death? Absolutely not. Now in chapter 5, verse 18. 1 John 5:18. We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. We all sinned and died in Adam, every one of us. The difference is that God chose some in Christ before Adam fell. And he shall not lose one. Christ redeemed us by his blood. And justice demands that we must be saved. His saints are born of the Spirit of God, whose grace is irresistible. We're irresistibly drawn to him. And God keeps us by his power, and the devil cannot touch us and cannot draw us away. Never. It can't happen. By his hand holding us. But understand, we may try to run. And for a season, it may look like we're succeeding. I'll tell you that from firsthand experience. I can do this by myself. I'll go be on that desert island and love everybody on it. I got tapes I can listen to and CDs at the time. I'll fend for myself. Peter tried doing that, didn't he? Peter denied the Lord three times. The Lord said, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, I ain't going to do that. Before the cock crows. And what did Peter do? He said, I give up. I'm going back to fishing. He went back to fishing, didn't he? But Christ said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And because of Christ's intercession for his saint, Peter's faith did not fail, did it? But Christ did not allow Peter to remain outside of the assembly of the saints, outside of the assembly of his people. Remember that? Angels there in the tomb, they came and they said, you go tell them disciples that Christ is risen. And Peter. And Peter. And Cass. And Mike. And Deanne. You go tell us. Christ through the Spirit, he has anointed his child. And he teaches us in our hearts. He makes us obey his word. And he keeps his child abiding in him all the way to the end. All the way till he takes us home. Look here in 1 John 2, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. That's not that we're just plug your ears up. Nobody's going to teach me nothing. I know everything. That's no one has to teach us how to abide in Christ. That's where we live. Nobody. I've had somebody try to teach me how to live in my house one time. That was awkward. But nobody has to teach you how to live in your home. That's where you live. You know how to live there. Nobody has to teach you how to abide in Christ. That's where we live. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The same way that instruction came to us, the same way that life came into us in the first place, that's how we're going to abide in him always, by his hand. When a sanctified child of God tries to walk contrary to God's word, one that his blood bought, he said, I bought you with a price, and you try running, you can't find any rest. You'll seek comfort in anything you can think of. then the bottom of the bottle's always dry. The football game always ends. Whatever it is, there's no comfort. There's no rest being away from Him. Until He's brought you, He's hedged your way about and brought you right back to Christ's feet, back to that throne of mercy, and then you'll find rest for your souls. That's the only time it'll happen. No sacrifice that we have to make to abide in Christ under the preaching of the gospel, to be assembled with His saints, is too much, considering what our Master gave for us. What could I sacrifice to hear the gospel that's in comparison to Christ sacrificing to save me? Those Christ died for will never commit the sin unto death. His great sacrifice and suffering, that death on the cross, Christ has taken away the sins of His people and made us righteous in Him. Turn over there to chapter 3, verse 5, 1 John 3, 5. And ye know that He, that's Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness, he that believes, he that lives in Christ, abides in Him, is righteous, even as Christ is righteous. Those born of Christ have a new man within them, and that new man cannot sin, because it's of God, including that sin unto death. Lord keeps us from all sin. Verse 9, 1 John 3, 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now our flesh that we're born in, it's nothing but sin. All we do is sin. But in that new man, we cannot commit sin. Due to God's grace, Christ, incorruptible seed being put in us, and it remains in us, we cannot sin because we're born of God. We're of His seed. So knowing that we know what sin unto death is. We know that a believer, a child of God that Christ has purchased, cannot commit the sin unto death. How do we know whether to pray for somebody? When our brother falls, our sister falls, how do we know to pray for them? They're in chapter 5. 1 John 5, verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. So who's he telling us to pray for? Obviously, we're not to just pray in generalities. Lord, save everybody on earth. Save all the reprobates. Our high priest didn't do that, did he? He said, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So we pray for those that God elected in Christ. But we do not have to worry about who to pray for, because we'll only be enabled to pray according to His will and for His purpose. We just saw that in Romans 8, didn't we? He intercedes for us, giving us ability through the Spirit to pray as we ought. So when it comes to our brethren we see in sin, even those who go out from us, they've departed. They're sitting under a false gospel. Always hold out hope. If the Spirit enables us, we pray for them. If the Lord lays it on your heart, pray for them. And if we have this comforting word of assurance that He shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Lord, if they're yours, you'll keep them. How do we know that? He said. What more do we have to be proven to us? The Lord said He won't lose one. Lord, save your people. Call your children out in this area. Save them to the uttermost. He's going to do it. That's according to His will, isn't it? Christ is life. He gives His redeemed eternal life. So as the Spirit enables you, you ask God for your brethren when you see them in sin. We don't gossip about it. We don't talk to one another about it. We take it to the Lord. We ask Him. We don't ask one another. Because love does not expose sin. Love covers a multitude of sin, doesn't it? Ask God for your brother or sister you see in sin. Petition Him. And if he's Christ, she's Christ, Christ will bring them to confess their sins. He'll purge them of their sins. And He'll turn them back to looking only to Christ and obeying His word alone. He'll bring them back under the gospel with His brethren. He'll increase their faith towards Christ. He'll warm their hearts towards Him. And He'll warm their hearts in love towards the brethren. This is the confidence we have in Christ at God's throne of grace. That's a comfort to us. Most people are scared to death of these verses. If you're His, you can't do it. He's going to keep you forever, same as always. Nothing's changed. If we're born of God, washed in Christ's blood, we can never commit the sin unto death. That passage gives me great comfort, and I pray it does you too. The only ones that this message will trouble are those disobeying the Lord, not heeding His word. And to them, this should be a strong warning. But for those of you that He's kept, those of you He's made faithful in His power and His will, that's a comfort to us. We're kept the same as we always have been. Amen. I hope that's a blessing to you.